بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As taught follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we continue our study of Surah Al-Layl. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll begin today with explaining or talking a little bit about the layout of the surah, the structure of Surah Al-Layl and how it's organized. And then inshallah ta'ala, we'll begin with the first ayah. So the layout of the surah, we find that the first part of the surah is a series of aqsam, a series of oaths, which we've talked about many times. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. And when an oath is taken in the Qur'an, you are being asked to reflect upon each item of the oath. And it will prepare you for what's called or what's known as jawabul qasam, the response to the oath, the conclusion, or basically the subject of the oath. And the subject, this jawabul qasam, by the way, usually it's the central message of the entire surah. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes an oath by the night and by the day and by the male and the female and how remarkable they are being created. Then He gives us the subject, the fundamental lesson of the surah. What is the subject of the surah? إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. Your efforts are truly divided and your efforts are truly diverse. Some people are working hard towards righteousness. Others are working hard towards being wretched, evil, in rebellion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And since this is the subject of the surah, it should be explained. Allah Azza wa Jalla will explain it. How do people make these efforts? So the second section of the surah is describing the two paths. So on one hand you have, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. And on the other hand, you have the other kind of efforts, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. Then of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning these two paths, He mentions His role in all of this. When He says, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا لَلْهُدَى وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. That's the third part of the surah. Meaning that these two people, these two types, they're working in their own direction. But they should know guidance belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide. And the other thing that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions is that He's in complete ownership of both of them. He knows exactly what they're doing, and He's in complete control because He Himself is the true owner, not only of the hereafter, but what's going on here as well. He says, وَالْأُولَى. You know, the believer who does good, he expects reward in the hereafter. If the believer gets depressed, he gets worried, he gets stressed in this life, then usually a believer would come up to him and say to him, brother, be patient, Allah will give you more reward in the hereafter. And if a disbeliever, when he does evil, when he does bad, you warn them of the hereafter. And even if you warn them of the hereafter, they'll say, well, it's not happening right now. And I shouldn't be worrying about it because it's not happening right now. So I can do whatever I want. Subhanallah, both the believer and the disbeliever, they attribute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's role to the hereafter. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets us know, not just the akhirah, He also says, wal-ula, right? He too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control here also. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows exactly what you're going through here, and He knows what you're doing here, and the consequences will be here as well as over there. وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. Then the final part of the surah, is part 4 of the surah, is basically a warning. Well, this is the second last part of the surah is basically a warning. It's a very interesting kind of warning that Allah Azza wa Jal gives. فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى لَا يَصْلَاهَا إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى. He says, I'm warning you. We're not going to talk about this in detail right now, but He says, I'm warning you of a blazing fire. No one will enter it except the worst, the most wretched, the most evil. Now, what kind of language is this? Allah Azza wa Jal, He doesn't say, I'm warning you of the fire and you're the most wretched. He didn't say that. He said, La yaslaha illa al-ashqa, third person. Yani He's saying, I'm warning you that the worst people will go there. Now, the fact that He didn't call you the worst, but He did say that the worst people will go there, it forces you to think, if the worst people go into it, why is He warning me? Why is He saying, I warn you that the worst people will go there? Why is He warning me? Why isn't He just warning the worst people, right? What we're being told here is, you may not have realized how far down you've gotten. Maybe you have become al-ashqa and you haven't even realized. Maybe you have become the worst and the most wretched and you haven't realized. So I'm warning you, the worst kind of people end up there. So what we're learning here is, you better not have become one of them. And if you have, you better get your act together. لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى. And again in third person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He mentions, who'll be saved from the hellfire, from this punishment. It was beautiful language. He says, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. The most pious, he'll be kept far away from it. You know when the mother is crossing the road and there's cars coming and going and she keeps her children right by her side? That's tajneeb. To pull someone far away from danger. Jannaba is to pull them far away from danger or to be on the side, yani basically far from danger. Tajneeb, this is the hyperbolized form, it means to keep them far, far away from danger. Not even close to the danger at all. Like for example, you want to cross the road, you're inside the building, you make sure the car has gone by, now you leave the building, you cross the road, and then you're totally safe. You are in the building, not just waiting on the curb or on the side. So Allah Azza wa Jal talks about these people who are completely, completely, absolutely safe. So on one hand, the people that are most wretched, who are going to be thrown in the fire, and on the other hand, the ones that are going to be completely, completely safe. And this idea of being far, far, far away from the fire, this idea is very powerful. Because when the people of the hellfire, they haven't even entered the hellfire yet. They're just looking at it. They're not even there yet. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about them. دَعَوْ هُنَالِكَ ثُبُورًا. Before they're even thrown inside, they'll be crying for death. But just kill us, just cause death upon us. Right? They'll be crying for this death, not because they're in the hellfire, but because they're close to the hellfire. SubhanAllah. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gift upon you that He keeps you far, far away from it. So He says, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. Not necessarily mentioning, I'll give you the paradise. He just says, I'll keep you far away from it. And we understand keeping us far away from it, this is an incredible gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He just keeps you far away from it. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, finally He concludes this surah with the idea of how are you going to reach this level of al-atqa? How are you going to reach this level of being the most righteous so that you may be saved from the hellfire? So He says, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ يَتَزَكَّى وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِن نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. He who gives his wealth, from his wealth to purify himself, and they do not expect any reward from anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you know what? Something very interesting. We learn from the beginning of this surah to the end that the most recurring theme in this surah is wealth, is money. In the beginning, the word istaghna came up. That was for wealth. In the beginning, Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى. Whoever gives what? Gives wealth. This is one of its meanings. In the beginning we found, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ. Mal came up. Then again, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ. Whoever is stingy and withheld. That's also got to do with money. At the end, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ. Also it's got to do with wealth. Wealth and wealth and wealth. The whole surah is about this. So we're going to learn in this surah what the previous surah told us. And what did the previous surah tell us? It told us that the one who cleansed it, the one who cleans his soul, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى, the one who cleanses himself has attained success. And in this surah, Allah is going to teach us that if you want to clean yourself up, It has a lot to do with your attitude towards wealth. It has a lot to do with how you think about your money, how you think about your property, how you think about your house, your car, about the things you own. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with owning wealth and having a lot of money. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this. Yani nothing wrong with having money in your pocket. But there is something wrong with having money entering your heart. That is the real problem. People can have all the wealth in the world they want, as long as it doesn't enter the heart. When Allah Azza wa Jal talks about the worst kinds of people, He doesn't say that they have money. He says that they love money. They love it, right? وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمًّا. And where is love? Love is in the heart, right? So this is the problem. When money enters the heart, it's fine if it enters the pocket, but if it enters the heart, that's where the problem is. So these people love the money so much, he always compiles it, he always collects it, he counts it. الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ. You know, that's what you do when you're obsessed with something you love. So this attitude of loving wealth is the central theme of this surah, and hence we are going to understand the word when Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. We're going to understand this in new light, right? Sa'i, basically it means to make effort. What does sa'i mean? Sa'i, basically we said to make an effort, right? People are making an effort in two directions. Either you want to get wealth here, or you want to get wealth over there, right? Now, yani, there is a way where you can be wealthy in both, in this life and in the hereafter. But it is really, really hard. But it's still possible, it could be done. That you can have wealth here and you can have wealth over there. But understand that when you're concerned, or that when you concern yourself with worldly assets and it becomes your priority and the priority in your heart, when you're thinking about your wealth more than you're thinking about the wealth and the asset and the reward Allah Azza wa Jal gives you over there, then you've become al-ashqa. You've become of those الَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. You've turned away from the message. For this is the problem that this surah will address, and how to solve this issue inside of the heart. The powerful lesson is going to be the center of this surah, and inshallah ta'ala now we'll begin the ayah by ayah discussion. And we're going to take it easy inshallah ta'ala, because you know the Qur'an, as the surah gets shorter, they become much, much more difficult to explain. Because when a surah is short, that means basically it's just giving you point form, and you're going to have to يعني, try to understand this short surah based on all the other bigger surah. And this is why Surah Al-Fatiha, a short surah, but go and find the tafsir of it, volumes, right? Because basically it's a summary of the Qur'an. Come to Surah Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad and the others. You think it's very simple, in one lesson you can explain this surah, wallahi you can't. The shorter the surah, the much more difficult it becomes to explain, because one short surah is built upon the lessons that were founded in all the other surah. So basically you're coming to a huge explanation of the Qur'an when you come to shorter surah, especially short ayat. So we'll begin inshaAllah ta'ala. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal-layli idha yaghsha. Allah Azza wa Jal swears by the night. I swear by the night as it covers up. And Allah does not mention what the night covers up. He just says, I swear by the night as it covers up. Doesn't mention what it covers up, because this is part of the style of this surah. Objects aren't mentioned. In other words, you are expected to fill in the blanks. This is one of the great styles of the Quran. It expects you to fill in the blanks yourself. What does the night cover up? You know, figure it out yourself. You should know. You've already read the previous surah, and we studied Surah Ash-Shams. So this attitude of filling in the blanks, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forcing us almost to think about things, this is one of those things that the beautiful aspects and features of the Qur'an. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces us to become people of tadabbur, people of pondering over the Qur'an. We're always pondering over the Qur'an. And Allah azza wa jal forces us to ponder over the Qur'an. You know, even the idea of tajweed. What do you think tajweed is all about? Tajweed is basically so you can read the Qur'an slowly. right? When you read something slowly, you're forced to think about it. Imagine you read a newspaper, you read it real quick. If you didn't understand, you'll go back and begin to word by word slowly. The idea of reading something slowly, it forcing you to ponder and think over what you're reading. So the idea of tajweed was only there to force you to think of what you're reading. The idea of memorization. When you memorize something, what do? You repeat it over and over again. When you repeat something over and over again, what does it force you to do? It forces you to think. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously, wherever you head from the Qur'an, whether this way or from here or from there, no matter which way you come inside to the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forcing you to think. So you're reading وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى and you're thinking now, well, what does the night cover up? That was already mentioned in the previous surah. When Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا He said, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا I swear by the night as it covers it, it referred to the sun. So when he says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى I swear by the night as it covers, it basically covers the sun. That was already mentioned in the previous surah. But in regards to the word يَغْشَى, الشوكاني رحمه الله, he comments on this and he says, يُغَطِّي بِظُلْمَتِهِ مَا كَانَ مُضِيئًا Meaning that the night covers with its darkness whatever had light on it before. Also, some have commented that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the night, He's alluding to kufr, to disbelief. And when He mentions the day, He's alluding to iman and revelation, which comes like light. And Allah Azza wa Jal refers to the Qur'an as light, nuran mubina. And it brightens up everything and it gets rid of all the darkness. So revelation, it gets rid of the disbelief and the misguidance, just like light gets rid of the darkness. So this is وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى Shawkani also, rahimahullah, he says Allah is mentioning the removal of the darkness of the night and how it immediately disappears in no time. It disappears, the night disappears by the appearance of the day. Now, you know, it takes a long time for the night to unfold. But the appearance of the day, it happens much, much, much faster. It happens very, very, very quickly. You know, even a little bit of light, just at sunrise, just before that, that Fajr time. A bit of sunlight, a bit of light, and a serious change comes over the world. Everything is almost bright, right? You can see everything now in front of you. But night is a slow process, you know. There's Asr, then Maghrib creeps in, and then the night begins to come in slowly. Even now, it's not fully night, right? Until really, really at night, 12 o'clock now, it's really, really dark. It crawls in bit by bit. And this is almost the parable of Iman and Kufr. You know, disbelief, it doesn't happen overnight. Corruption in a society, it doesn't come overnight. It takes a long time before a nation becomes corrupt. But if you look at the change of good that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, how long did it take him? You know, the nation that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to was in darkness, in shirk and kufr for hundreds and hundreds of years. And overnight, the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only took 23 years. 23 years is nothing in the nation, in the history of a nation. 2 decades only. That's no time. Overnight, completely day manifested, you know. A full manifestation of the day. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى Subhanallah. So, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى Basically, what's embedded in between the lines is Iman and Kufr. Kufr takes time to come into a land, like the darkness takes time to unfold. However, Iman, light, 1 second. The moment the sun begins to come out, everything is lit up. And this is like the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he came out among his people, which have been in shirk for hundreds of years. All it took 23 years and light was all over the place. Islam, Iman was everywhere. So this is يعني وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى Here we have another discussion on the word وَمَا And it's a similar discussion to the one we had in the previous surah, Surah Al-Shams, where we were studying the verses والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها. The word ما, and the word ما could be understood as ما الموصولة, and it could also be understood as ما المصدرية. What does that mean? ما الموصولة, if it is ما الموصولة, then the statement is Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, I swear by the one that created the male and the female. That's Allah. If you're saying ma al-masdariya, then the emphasis is not on the creator Allah, rather it's on the creation itself. So if it's ma al-masdariya, the meaning would be how remarkable and how amazing is the creation of the male and the female. Now there's a very interesting point here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said male and female, al-dhakara wal-untha. He didn't say man and woman, al-rajul wal-mar'ah. He said wama khalaqa al-dhakara wal-untha, not wama khalaqa al-rajul wal-mar'ah. Now, al-dhakar and al-untha, male and female, can be used pretty much for anything that has a male and female gender. So by Allah saying al-dhakara wal-untha, He opened the scope. Just like Yagsha, He left it open. He didn't say that it's covered by the night and so on, He left it open. And just like He said Tajalla, He left it open. Therefore also male and female, He left it open. Beautiful. It just comes from the style of the surah. So Allah Azza wa Jal created male and female of the animals, male and female of the human being, of the plant, and so on. Now these pairs, male and female, that are being mentioned, there's a profound lesson. There's a profound lesson in them that's really beautiful. You know, we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ. From every single thing that exists, we created a pair. And you know, if you think about this, just think about this for a second. If night existed by itself, we would be in destruction. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions this in the Quran. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Say to them, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what if Allah only had night for you? What if the night became sarmada? It just lasted and it wouldn't go away. What a disaster for all of us this would be. And Allah Azza wa Jalla also says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ النَّهَارَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. What if the day would never go away and it just remained day forever? How difficult would that be upon me and you? So one necessitates the existence of the other. Night and day, it necessitates the existence of the other. That's how harmony is created. Also, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. Male by itself is incomplete. Life cannot continue. Female by itself is also incomplete. Life cannot continue. And even in our own psyche, you know, men, they have tendencies. And the tendencies of men, yani they're very corrupt. Like we have the tendencies towards violence, rage, and all these other things. Who calms those tendencies down? Women, our mothers, our sisters, our wives, so on. They calm these tendencies down. So both male and females have weaknesses that the other fulfills. Women have emotional weaknesses that only men could fulfill. And men have emotional weaknesses that only a woman can fulfill. Subhanallah. How amazingly complementary these two are together. Both go together to create harmony, just like the night and day go together to create this harmony. Also, pairs, male and female, of any type of, whatever, it's an animal, a plant, a human being, it also goes together to create this harmony and to create this balance. Now, we're learning something profound. If something is in pairs, then this life must also be, or must also have a pair. If everything is in pairs, then also this life must have a pair. There's life over here. This life over here must also be paired with something. This life by itself cannot be complete. It is only complete when it meets its other half. What's its other half? Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the same surah, وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. The hereafter, that's its second half. So the hereafter becomes a necessary part to this worldly life.
In this worldly life, you have night and day, you have male and female, and they are reminding you of everything. They are reminding you that everything is incomplete by itself. It needs a pair to complete it. That's what we're learning. When you see a woman, you're being taught that by yourself you're incomplete. When you see the day alone, you're being taught that without the night, it's incomplete. So this attitude begins to develop in your mind that things must be in pair. So now that when you look at this life, you say it is incomplete. It must have something to it, which is the afterlife that will complete it. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pairs the dunya and the akhirah, yani logically for us. Then he says, "Inna sa'yakum lashatta." Inna sa'yakum lashatta. It's a very beautiful ayah. Indeed, your efforts are diverse, and indeed your efforts are divided. No doubt, your efforts, the efforts of all of you. Remember, we said this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us in second person. You. The previous surah was in third person. He, she, they, his. That's all third person. So in this surah, Allah is talking to the nation directly. And interestingly, in the previous surah, Allah was talking about Thamud, right? They. He would talk about them as they. They're gone. But now, all of a sudden, in the next surah, which is Surah Al-Layl, the warnings and the descriptions of your state are not in the third person. It's not about they anymore. It's about you. So the previous surah was preparing us for these lessons. Now you are ready for the recent lessons directly. So Allah Azza wa Jal turns his attention towards Quraysh, and of course everyone as an extension in this surah. And he says, "Inna sa'yakum lashatta." Now the word sa'i, basically it is to pace really fast. So it's faster than walking, but it's slower than running. It's pacing. And you know, we learned this word previously in Surah An-Nazi'at, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Thumma adbara yas'a," about Fir'aun. He began to pace, meaning moving quickly and urgently towards something. That's what sa'i is. So this is when somebody paces. Like, when do you see somebody pacing? At the bus stop, or when he's rushing towards his office, when they have yani something really, really important that they have to do, and this sense of urgency is created, and you have to rush to do something, that is sa'i. And they are not quite running, they're not quite walking as well, they're moving quickly because there's something concerning them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these concerns you have, that you're running towards and pacing towards, they are all over the place. لَشَتَّى إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. It's all over the place. So Allah Azza wa Jal is describing the contrast of the day and the night, and the contrast of the male and the female. How these things are opposing, just like that, your efforts are opposing. They're all over the place. In the religious sense and in the non-religious sense also. In the religious sense, for example, the Muslims are making effort to establish the deen, and they're making effort for victory of this deen. And the non-believers are making efforts to destroy this deen, to harm this deen, to attack it and its teachings. So the two are making efforts, but in opposite directions, opposing directions. There are people that are righteous, there are others that are corrupt. إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. This is what it is. But then in the non-religious sense, in the dunya, every one of us has a different job, has a different responsibility, and we're all heading in different directions. Each and every single one of us has our own problems. But the word لَشَتَّى, this word شَتَّى, it's a really beautiful and it's a remarkable word. There is two words in the Arabic meaning, or in the Arabic language, for diverse or divided. In the Quran we find مختلف. We all know what مختلف is. مختلف is to have a difference, division. And the word شَتَّى. شَتَّى also means division. شَتَّى, but شَتَّى on one hand. مختلف firstly is two very different things. That's what مختلف is, two very different things. شَتَّى on the other hand is something that was once one piece and it shattered, it broke, now it's become dispersed and divided and scattered. That's what shatta is. Shatta, something was one, but then it broke and it became many pieces. So what we're learning in this ayah is Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, humanity and our efforts, initially they were one. On the earth, mankind began as one community, as one nation, from the time of Adam. Allah Azza wa Jal says, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. Humanity used to be one nation upon Tawheed. It used to be united. So our efforts are supposed to be one. And the fact that they are diverse and they're divided, they come together at the end to become part of يعني the whole, right? Although our efforts right now, whether it's the believers or non-believers, it's all dispersed and divided and all over the place. What we're learning is at the end, they all come together and they make part of a whole. That's what we're learning by the use of the word shatta here. Just like the night and day come together to become part of a whole, and just like the male and female come together to become part of a whole, yani project and a plan, our efforts, even the efforts of the disbelievers, against the efforts of the believers, they all come together and they are part of a larger plan. This changes the way we look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I'm going to explain this, how the efforts of the believers and disbelievers comes together to be part of a larger plan. It changes the way we look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It changes the way we look at the efforts of those who tried to attack Islam. It's all part of the process. It must be there. In other words, you have people offending and oppressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. That is their efforts. That's their efforts of the disbelievers to attack the message and the messenger. And the Sahaba, on the other hand, they're making efforts to what? To spread the deen, to spread the message. Two opposing efforts. So we have two opposite efforts, two opposing efforts, as we said. And if these efforts don't collide, if they don't come together, then the ayat that command the companions to have patience wouldn't have come down. The instructions of making hijrah wouldn't have come down. The ayat of jihad wouldn't have come down. So all the efforts and all the events of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam are not a result of one direction efforts. Like, it's not just the efforts of the believers. What else is going on? A conflicting effort of the disbelievers. That's what creates the situation. So it's part of a larger plan. Don't complain about it. Understand it's part of the plan of Allah. It's part of the test. Inna sa'yakum lashatta. Subhanallah. Unbelievable how this comes in the Quran. Like the day and the night, they come together to give us yani the day, basically, that we find harmony in, right? That we find rest in. And the male and female come together, and that's where the picture is created. And the efforts of the believers and the disbelievers comes together to give us the full wahi, the full guidelines. Otherwise, if you're not going to join them together, if everyone had his own efforts and not worry about the rest, as we said, those ayat of sabr and jihad and hijrah wouldn't have come down. Why did they come down? They only came down so we can deal with this situation. That's why they came down. So, inna sa'yakum lashatta. But another interesting thing about the use of the word lashatta, we're going to end with this interesting one. We said shatta, and I concentrate and focus on this beautiful word just to see how Allah Azza wa Jal places it in this surah. We said shatta is something that was originally together, and then it was broken apart. Now look at the oaths that came before this ayah. How beautiful the placement of this word. When Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about the day in Surah Yasin, what did He say? He said, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلِ نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارِ. A miraculous sign for them is the night we remove, we extract it, we withdraw, we pull it, we pull يعني the day out of it, right? So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, يعني آيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلِ, for them is this sign, that the night, we remove from the night the day. Right? This is what Allah Azza wa Jalla said. Ayatul lahumul layl naslakhu minhu an-nahar. The day is pulled out from the night. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is describing the day being broken away from the night. Day is broken away from the night. Just like the word shatta means something was originally one and it broke up from it. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. Where did the untha come from? Where did our mother Hawa come from? Wasn't she broken away from Adam's rib? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. So the word shatta is really beautiful. Really beautiful here. Because it complements the lessons that are coming in the beginning of the surah. At the beginning Allah is telling us, Al-Layl, it's broken away from the day. The female is broken away from the male. And then he uses the word shatta, and shatta means that we were all one, and then people broke away from the tawheed. Subhanallah, awesome lesson. And then, يعني, so, أَوَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَىٰ وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّىٰ وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَىٰ. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these remarkable words, not just to describe our situation, but our situations, you'll find parables from them in nature. You find lessons for life and the struggle of Muslims in the things that are around you. Allah Azza wa Jal changes the way we think about the world around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to properly reflect on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of the Quran, people who benefit from the reminders of the Quran. Innahu waliyu thalika wal qadiru alayhi. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.